Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Moment here, if you don't mind, Chris.
It's your show, Rich.
I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah, no problem.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Roddy White told Big Lead, if I'm Trevor Lawrence, if the Jets finish with no wins, I just go back to Clemson.
Roddy White.
Hush up, hush up!
On this particular subject matter?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer, Super Bowl champion quarterback, Trent Dilfer. Coming up from Sports Illustrated, Pat 40. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. Tonight, the Giants and the Eagles kick off week seven of the National Football League schedule that, all eyes are peeled, certainly with our friends at NBC Sports on Peacock about the Sunday night football game. The Raiders currently being investigated by the NFL and the NFLPA for potentially breaking protocol rules, with Trent Brown having tested positive for COVID-19, my colleague Tom Pelissero at the NFL Media Group is saying that the NFL and NFLPA are looking into the fact that Trent Brown may not have been wearing his contact tracer as much as he should have, which is, by the way, all times, and that Raiders offensive linemen were seen on video talking to each other without masks on. Let's hope that that all works out. But right now we got ourselves the Giants and the Eagles, which is on Fox and NFL Network and Amazon Prime tonight. Joe Buck with the call after calling last night's game two of the World Series with John Smoltz. That is all up at even up at one apiece. They're all cooling their heels in the Metroplex, getting ready for game three of the World Series. That'll be tomorrow night on Fox. Tonight, Joe Buck will be with Troy Aikman calling that important NFC East contest, which we'll get a little bit deeper into. There's some injury news in relation to that game to bring to you, and certainly may be of interest to your fantasy football team. But we want to turn the page right now and talk a little college football, certainly since the SEC and the ACC and the Big 12 are going to get a fourth member of the Power 5 conference back and active this week. The Big Ten returns to action this weekend, and the entire conference will be active. Seven games, including the ABC night game, my alma mater, taking on Minnesota. It's the only top 25 matchup, if you will. Wisconsin welcoming in Illinois, and the Ohio State in the Horseshoe against Nebraska. Penn State will be visiting Indiana. Iowa and Purdue, Rutgers and Michigan State, Maryland and Northwestern round out the schedule. So we wanted to have on our show from Sports Illustrated, a columnist, as well as a man who's been covering college sports for quite some time, Pat 40, back on the show. How are you, Pat?
Hey, I'm all right, Rich. Happy Big Ten football to you.
I appreciate that. I guess, interestingly enough, we that was the reason why we have you on, but I do want to put a pin in that for the moment and talk about LSU. That broke the minute we had actually booked you to be on the show today. And you are part of the report talking about what is going on in LSU that did, in fact, lead to an Odell Beckham. He's the biggest name, I guess, outside of the current program involved with it. I give you the floor on what's going on with LSU.
It's messy and it's interesting. None of these are new allegations per se, but we now are seeing what LSU is trying to do to get ahead of a potential mushroom cloud situation. They're offering some self-imposed sanctions, including disassociating Odell Beckham, as you said. I mean, certainly one of the most high-profile alums they have, because he, as we all know, I was wondering if this is the first time we've ever had, like, major violations just play out in real time right in front of the media. It's like, what are we seeing here when he was paying players in the Superdome right there after the game? The much larger violation, a booster funneled $180,000 in stolen money to the father of a player for a no-show job. And so basically they've got these football violations, but they've also got this really big basketball investigation going on. The NCAA wants to wrap them all into one big investigation and then most likely have the leverage to charge this school with lack of institutional control, because basically you've got two different sports that are committing major violations. LSU is fighting very hard to avoid that happening. I'm not sure who's going to win, but so far it's advantaged to the NCAA because they have referred the case up the ladder for hearing purposes, and so far the allegations are bundled together.
Will it affect any play this season, or this is just for another day? It's just a fascinating headline that involves Odell Beckham and cash that we saw that went viral on Twitter, him actually pressing cold, hard American cash into the palms of collegiate athletes in front of cameras. Does this manifest itself in any way this year, do you think, Pat?
I don't think so. No, okay. No. These kind of things, are, of course, one of the biggest problems with NCAA justice is it takes forever. And LSU doesn't even have a notice of allegations yet pertaining to the basketball stuff. So, you know, I would say we will be lucky if we are reaching a resolution to this at this time next year.
Pat Forty here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's get into Big Ten play. Right here, right now. Clearly, the Ohio State is the school that with the best chance to join whatever college football playoff that is held. Is there any issue with that going in? The fact that they're joining late, that other conferences have already played? Where does that issue stand before we even see a snap of Big Ten football this weekend, Pat?
You know, I think if you look at the landscape, it's begging for some more quality teams. So I don't think at this moment it would hurt Ohio State or Penn State or Michigan or Minnesota or Wisconsin, whoever turns out to be the best team in that league. I think if you look around, you see Alabama, you see Clemson, and then there's a gap. And as we all know, it's not a two-team playoff, it's a four-team playoff. So I think it's wide open opportunity for somebody to impress from the Big Ten and kind of change the landscape there. The only complication that I see, Rich, is we've seen, I mean, teams are postponing games. Teams are canceling games. Games are being lost. Roughly 10.6%, I believe, of the games so far have either been postponed or canceled. And the Big Ten has no room for any of those because they have no bye weeks, no off weeks to move anything back to. So if you start canceling games there, if one team loses two games, now, okay, you're looking at a 7-game schedule. Is that enough compared to a 10 or 11-game schedule for someone else? That could be where they get into a disparity just in number of games played that could hold the Big Ten back in terms of playoff resume.
And then in terms of the schedule, can you explain to everybody what that final week is where it's kind of everyone from one conference plays somebody from one division plays someone from the other division to try and figure out eventually who is the champion, who could be forwarded as this is our best team for the college football playoff to consider because there's no Big Ten championship game, Pat?
It's basically an East-West jamboree of sorts, I guess you would say. You know, the number one team from the East plays the number one team from the West. The number two team from the East plays the number two team from the West. Number three versus number three, and so on. You know, in some frozen field that will be watched by approximately 8 people. But, you know, it's a nice idea. It gives everybody one more game, and, yeah, it could give one more quality game to the top two teams. And since there's not a lot of cross-division play in this setup, it should provide, you know, a chance for whoever that best team is in the West to get their shot at the best team at the East. You know, presumptively, that's Ohio State.
And that is presumptively Ohio State, unless I got to tell you, man, just for a moment for me here, Pat, this fellow Joe Milton has me fascinated, absolutely fascinated. I mean, he's 6'5 or 6'6, wherever you read about this Michigan quarterback. He's the first quarterback that Jim Harbaugh is going to be starting to start a season that he actually recruited himself out of high school. And he's 240. I mean, he is a large human playing this position that could be potentially transformative unless I'm just jumping to the conclusions here. Pat, I'll give you the floor to tell me what's what.
Well, yeah, a lot of hype coming in about Joe Milton. As you mentioned, just the physical size, he's almost Cam Newton size, maybe Ben Roethlisberger kind of size. I mean, he's a big, big guy, but suppose he can really throw it. It has the ability to run it as well. You know, is he able to step in and give them the quarterback play that, quite frankly, they have not had under Jim Harbaugh? And one of the reasons he was brought in is because he had done such a great job coaching quarterbacks throughout his career, whether it was with the 49ers or whether it was at Stanford. Can he finally get that quarterback position cranked up to a higher level than it has been? Quite frankly, the pass efficiency numbers under him have been worse than they were under Brady Hoke. So that is not good. That's not where you want it to be. And if you're trying to chase Ohio State with Justin Fields and with the cutting-edge offense they have, and you're trying to keep up with or get into the same category with Clemson, with Trevor Lawrence, with Alabama, with their quarterback and their receivers, you have to be able to match points to a degree in modern college football. And Michigan, that hadn't been their ability in years. We'll see if they can now.
So are there any Big Ten teams that are allowing fans in to stadiums, best you can tell, Pat?
No, I believe there's a conference-wide agreement that no fans other than family of athletes and coaches.
That's it. Okay, so there's not like going to be any, I guess, Dan Mullen moments. And in terms of that, when do we think Florida is going to play football again, Pat?
Well, we'll see. What their virus numbers look like this next week. I guess on Monday probably would be fisher cut bait time for their Halloween game, which I think is against Missouri. But I mean, they've missed two. If they have to miss another game, I mean, that then you start actually losing games. You get to the point where the Big Ten is, where they've already used their bye weeks and they're moving around flexibility on the schedule. So, I mean, it's a mess for Florida. As we, found out, I mean, the numbers are big. 31 positive players, I believe it was. And with contact tracing, who knows how many are possibly affected or in quarantine. I'm not sure how long it's going to take for them to get it back together and when we'll see Florida again. So Dan Mullen said something stupid, and then it came back as even karmically worse with what's happened with his program.
No doubt about that, and I hope everybody is well and safe, and certainly the kids don't have any lingering effects. Pat Forty here on the Rich Eisen Show. A few minutes left with the senior writer from Sports Illustrated. So who has the best chance to beat the Ohio State in Big Ten play, do you think?
Oh, boy. You know, I mean, probably Penn State, although, losing Micah Parsons, who's probably going to be like a top 10 pick at linebacker, and then Journey Brown, their running back, he's most likely out for the season. You lose those two things, and those are losses you can't really afford when you're trying to match up with the most talented team in the conference. Then, I think it's Michigan-Minnesota is a heck of a game here.
Sure
this
is.
First weekend. I'm very bullish on Minnesota. They lost a lot of defense, got to replace some big players there, but boy, their offense should be very good again. Rashad Bateman opted back in, great receiver. Tanner Morgan, quarterback, was very underrated last year. The whole offensive line is back. I think the winner of that game has won a really high-quality game and will be able to take a big step forward in terms of who can compete with Ohio State.
And last one from the next level, Pat, from the NFL, the conversation is tanking for Trevor, already been going on for pretty much a couple of years, I think. as soon as he started running away from Ohio State players last year, I think that was the sealing of the deal of certain teams, just saying this kid is particularly special. And we're already hearing conversation. Bill Cowher has said publicly, Roddy White added to the mix, that Trevor Lawrence should stay in school rather than run the risk of becoming the next Sam Darnold because of the Jets. What are you hearing about Trevor Lawrence's thoughts on this subject, if at all, Pat?
Well, I mean, he already said he wants this to be his last year. I don't know whether, yes, he had fully reckoned with the specter of being the Jets quarterback, but I would expect him. He's still going to go. He's certainly ready. And, maybe he tries to go the Eli Manning, John Elway route of, you can draft me, but you need to trade me or you need to trade the pick and try to end up somewhere else. I don't know. I don't, have any insight into his mindset. He's one of those guys. I mean, he comes across great in terms of coachable team, great attitude about the game. So I don't know how high maintenance he would be in that situation, but it might be a matter of where you sign with an agent, your agent says, look, this is what we need to do here, and you let the agent be the bad guy. But it's going to be really interesting to see, yes, if if the Jets end up, you know, continuing just as catastrophically as they have been, and then how Trevor Lawrence feels about wearing the green.
So the concept of Trevor Lawrence staying for another year would be news to you, Dabo Swinney, anybody else, pretty much, if there is some sort of reversal of, you know what, I think I'm going to stay put. That would be news, big time, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, look, he loved his time there. He could have opted out this year, you know, very easily. But he wants to be there. He wants to play. He's an absolute competitor. So it's not out of the question, you know, that he might say, I'll just do another year there. But I think that you're looking at at your financial future and saying, you know, any risk of huge injury that you could take $100 million, $200 million career and jeopardize it just because you're kind of worried about playing for the Jets. I don't see that happening.
Yeah, neither do I. And how about Tua, man? I figured I'll just give you the floor here. Him being named kind of out of the blue in a way, named the starting quarterback of the Miami Dolphins, and you know, setting up an incredible game that we wouldn't be normally talking about. Cincinnati taking on Miami in Week 13. It sounds like it would be set for a Saturday on CBS with the SEC. Instead, it's going to be set for a Sunday on CBS in the AFC. I'll give you the floor on who Tua is and what he might have shown behind the scenes to make this maneuver quicker, do you think, Pat?
Yeah, I mean, he's a wonderful soul. I mean, just a delightful young man, great attitude, enjoys the game, has fun playing. Never seen him feel like a situation is too big for him. You know, he truly believes he is good enough to do whatever you ask him to do, including to take over from a guy who had done a pretty good job and done pretty well for his team. I mean, that's the surprising thing to me, Rich, is you know, the Dolphins aren't 0-4, 0-5, and then out of the contention or anything. They're doing well, and to make the change now, that certainly says they like what they have seen from Tua. Great touch on the ball, wonderful accuracy, and one thing Saban always said about him is instinctually gifted a player as he's ever seen. He just has great instincts for what to do and when.
How about that? And Herbert's doing really well, too. I mean, that's no surprise, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's been terrific for the Chargers so far, Pat.
Yeah, he's actually surprised me a little bit because, I mean, he had all the physical talents. I just wasn't sure he was accurate enough, and I saw in enough big games where he would kind of get a little wobbly. But he's been really good so far. Very good.
Okay, so before I let you go, Alabama, Clemson, and fill in the other two blanks as we're sitting here prior to the Big Ten season. What do you think?
Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and I'm going to say a second SEC team, maybe Georgia. You know, I didn't love what I saw out of Georgia Saturday against Alabama, but they're still a high quality team. They just played a bad second half there, but that's who I'll throw in for the fourth.
Is there any chance the Pac-12, when they come back, can throw their hat in that ring, Pat?
Sure, because the spot's open, basically. I mean, like I said, I'm pretty tepid about Georgia. I think the rest of the nation is, too, at this point. So, yeah, if Oregon or USC or Arizona State even jumps up and has a really good season, yes, the Pac-12 is viable.
Pat, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. Let's check in a couple of weeks and talk now that we might have a Power 5 back in the mix. It sure looks like it's going to happen. We're knocking on wood. Thanks for the call.
All right, thank you, Rich.
You got Pat 40 at Pi by Pat 40 here on the show. It's interesting, Chris. I'm just taking a look at one particular Big Ten schedule, just you know. And you know, there's just not a lot across of the divisions.
Uh-huh.
You play your division, and then there's somebody in the other division. So Michigan isn't in the same division as Minnesota or Wisconsin, and yet they're playing them both. It's interesting.
Yeah, but?
That means, I'm sure, of course, that they're not going to play Penn State and Michigan State and Ohio State, right? I mean, because, well, wait a minute. Yes, they do. Uh-huh.
So you're saying the deck is stacked against...
I'm not saying the deck is stacked.
I mean, it sounds like that's what you're saying.
This. I'll say this. Do me a favor. Let me just talk about this. Before I go all in here, Wisconsin. Does Wisconsin play Ohio State and Penn State?
Let's see.
Does Wisconsin play Ohio State and Penn State and Michigan State? Do they play all those teams?
No, they don't play any of them. They play Michigan.
Who does Wisconsin play? Give me Wisconsin's schedule.
Illinois.
Uh-huh.
Nebraska.
Got it.
Purdue.
Uh-huh.
Michigan.
Right.
Northwestern.
Yep.
Minnesota.
Right.
Indiana. Iowa.
Okay. All right. That sounds fair to me. That sounds fair to me, Big Cat. JJ. Sounds fair to me. No, sounds fair to me. I'll say this. I'm just going to say this. Everybody loves slagging on Michigan. I get it. I hear it. Don't like it. Don't like it. Love slagging on Michigan. They don't do it. Why even think that they're at all worthy of being talked about when they're so disappointing year in, year out? And yet, who's the team that everybody wants to have on their schedule?
Except Notre Dame.
Because, shut up. Notre Dame, please, won't even schedule Michigan. No, seriously, why is Michigan first game against Minnesota on ABC on a Saturday night? Why is that? Oh, because we rate. We show up. We're relevant, even though you don't think we deserve to be as relevant as we think we are because we're arrogant Michigan. Oh, no. Gotta play. You can't have a Michigan schedule, even in COVID-19 land, without Michigan State, without Ohio State, without Penn State. Got to throw Wisconsin in there, too. And Minnesota's up and coming. Got to play that because there's the old little brown jug that's on the line this weekend. Got to have that. Got to have it. Must have it. Huh. Interesting that Wisconsin's schedule is vastly different than Michigan's. And you can't say it's, well, you got to play one division and the other division plays the other division. Interesting. Chris, who's in the who's in Michigan's division with them in the Big Ten? You want to call that one up? I'm loving this, by the way. We're not taking a break right now. What else? You got that over there, Chris? Call up the Big Ten schedule, would you please? Because, you know, I can't opine, opinionate, focus on what I'm saying, and also call up the Google, you know, myself.
Michigan schedule or the division?
The division. How does it break down by division in the Big Ten? Because there's two divisions. Michigan's in one,
yep,
and Wisconsin's in the other, and yet they're playing each other. Who's in Wisconsin's division with them?
All right. The East division is Indiana, Maryland, Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, Penn State, Rutgers.
Got it.
The West is Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, Northwestern, Purdue, Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
Playing a lot of teams in the East.
It seems a little more stacked, one or the other.
I mean, that
Big Cat,
well,
JJ,
yeah, East and West.
Guys,
I mean, you draw
you guys,
a line and
all you guys.
Hey, Rich, you know how you can solve all this?
Win. Got it.
Beat
no,
them.
You are right. You are right.
Adrian
win.
Said it.
No, you want to shut everyone up? Win. Beat Ohio State.
Yeah, beat Penn State.
Correct.
Beat these
right.
Teams, yeah.
But it's more difficult to beat Wisconsin, who I greatly respect. I do. It's tougher to beat Wisconsin when you've already played your blood sport rival Michigan State and opened up at Minnesota, which is a Super Bowl for this team. Then you got Indiana, and then now here comes Wisconsin. Rutgers, sorry, Mikey.
They should be. They didn't let me in.
Honestly, if
I
we
applied.
Can relegate someone out of the Big Ten.
You can relegate them from New Jersey.
Adios.
Fine.
Adios.
You're good.
Penn State.
My niece goes there. She's going to get mad.
And then Maryland. And then Ohio State. I get it. Win. But you can't tell me you're not as relevant as you think you are. You're really arrogant when everybody wants Michigan on national television. And the schedule reflects it. When the other team that is respectable and very respected gets a schedule that's a B-minus, C-plus, because nobody's clamoring to see him nationally. And who's relevant and who's not? I feel better. Now we can take a break. I'll take it. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Chris Brockman's news update. Some injury news of interest when we come back. You know what's really scary? seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It's almost as scary as that homemade elf costume your mom made you wear in junior high school. No, Geico can't erase the memory of tripping down the hallway in oversized pointy shoes, but they could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Stop waking up at night in a cold sweat, people, wondering what happened to that green onesie. Just switch to Geico and save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Play the same six people in your division. You play the same people in somebody else's other division in conference. You play the same people as the other division in out of conference. And the only thing that is different are two games on the schedule. Two games on the schedule are the in-conference teams who finished in the same place as you did the previous year. Right. That's it
right.
In the NFL.
Right.
Come on.
That's why we get Chiefs
Ravens. Michigan, we just showed Michigan's schedule. We just showed Michigan's football schedule.
I have Ohio State's. Do you have it?
Let's go one by one. Michigan opens up against Minnesota.
Yep.
Ohio State opens up against?
Nebraska.
Michigan then plays Michigan State. Blood sport rival and state. Yep. Got to play it. Got it. We're excited about it. Yep. Can't wait to take that Paul Bunyan axe once again. What do you got over there, Chris?
Huge game week two for Ohio State. They play Penn State.
Okay, that's a big game. Penn State is huge.
Yeah, night game on ABC.
Got it. Can't wait to watch that. Yep. Indiana's Michigan's week three opponent. What about Ohio State?
Mighty Rutgers.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Go to New Jersey.
Then next up for Michigan is number 14, Wisconsin. What's up next for Ohio State?
That powerhouse at Maryland.
Okay. Ooh. Then we get a little breather against Rutgers. That's our bye week. What do you have for Ohio State?
Indiana for Ohio State.
There we go.
State,
yep. Then Michigan plays Penn State. Who does Ohio State play?
Illinois.
Got it. Michigan then plays Maryland. Who does Ohio State play?
A little bit tougher. Ohio State has Michigan State.
And then comes the game.
Yeah.
Sound fair to anybody? Does that sound fair?
Yeah, it's a little uneven.
Okay. Hey, how about Wisconsin? How about Wisconsin's schedule? I've got Penn State's schedule. You look up Wisconsin's. Penn State's got Indiana, Ohio State, Maryland, Nebraska, Iowa, Michigan, Rutgers, Michigan State. Missing? Minnesota, Wisconsin. Does Wisconsin have to play Ohio State and Penn State and Michigan State and Michigan? No, they do not.
No, they play one. They play Michigan.
They do not. Michigan plays Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan State, Penn State, Ohio State. All I am saying is this. Bring it. Got to beat them anyway. We are hopefully going to win them all. But don't tell me everybody else plays the same schedule. They do not. And the only reason why Michigan plays the toughest schedule is because everybody wants to see Michigan play. That's why we are the Dallas Cowboys of the Big Ten. Yes, we are.
Settle down just a little bit. Wait,
put some respect
on our name.
We
Dallas
are.
Dallas Cowboys of the Big Ten.
We are.
Overhyped preseason.
Maybe.
Ready to fall apart.
Maybe.
But people are still tuning in.
Maybe.
Always.
And you're always talking about it. Shows like this,
maybe.
We're always talking about
maybe.
You guys.
Always.
Ohio State does not play Michigan State and Wisconsin and Minnesota and Michigan State and Michigan. All at once, they do not. Michigan plays F. Let's bring it on. If you name the top five teams in the Big Ten this year, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State. Right?
Yeah.
Michigan State might be the outside looking in, trying to climb in there with due respect to Iowa, maybe. Come on.
Nebraska might have it harder than everybody.
Come on.
Nebraska has Ohio State, Wisconsin, Penn State, and Minnesota.
Well, you know what?
And Iowa.
They deserve it because they're the ones who wanted it. You wanted it, you got it.
You didn't want it, Rick.
You know what? Michigan doesn't. Of course I want it.
I mean, everybody wanted it.
Yeah, you want to win.
Yeah,
Michigan just went, my alma mater just went all online classes because of coronavirus on campus. So I'll just leave it at that.
Feel better?
No, I don't. I'm more angry. I've worked myself up.
Let's hit them all now.
Well, we gotta. They gotta.
Yeah.
They gotta. Michigan will have earned it. Will you say this to me, Chris? If Michigan goes undefeated through that schedule and winds up having to play Wisconsin or Minnesota again, because the last week in the schedule is the round robin where the top seed in one comp division plays the top seed in the other. So the likelihood of the top seed in that other division being Wisconsin or Minnesota means Michigan may have to beat a team twice. If Michigan goes through all that, they deserve that spot.
In the national in the playoffs?
Uh-huh.
Oh, 100%.
Right.
Yeah. If you guys are 9-0, oh, my God, like you're in. End of story.
And I will tell you this. If we are 9-0, I will be very difficult to be around. I will be very, very difficult. Incorrigible is the big word for the big word alert. It would be, I don't even want to talk about it.
Well, you'll be like that if you're 7-0 going into Ohio State.
No, I'll be nervous. I'll be nervous.
Because at that point, you'll be ranked in the top five.
I'll be nervous.
Sure.
I'll be nervous. I won't believe all the polls.
Ah, okay. Yep.
You got your news update
good,
over there?
Good luck.
Thank you, sir.
Good luck.
Thank you. Let's get to Chris Brockman's news update.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
What do you got over there, Chris?
All right, not a lot going on, but an injury update that's key for tonight's game, of course. We haven't talked much about it, but Giants-Eagles tonight, Thursday Night Football. Giants could be getting back Sterling Shepard. He's been out with that toe injury. But he was activated off IR this week, and he could be activated to playing status. Gonna go a pregame workout, and the medical staff has to sign off on him. But if all goes well, he will be in uniform tonight against Philadelphia.
I don't even know who to take in this one, brother.
I think we were talking about this pre-show. I think this game on paper looks so bad that it's going to be really good and entertaining.
The Giants and Eagles always play.
Yeah. And they both need to win. A
yes.
win puts them
yes.
tied for first
yes.
in the division.
Yes.
With the other matchup, Dallas and Washington, a division matchup. So this division is so bad, it's now turning good for me. I think that's going to be wildly entertaining tonight.
By the end of the day, though, I will need to find out from who you think is going to win this football game tonight. If you don't want to give that now, we can do that in the final segment.
We can wait about 20 minutes.
By the way, did you hear the news as well from the new team president of the Washington football team that it looks like right now they're going to be called the Washington football
next
team
year.
Next year too?
Yeah.
Have you named your boat yet, Mike?
I'm going to wait for Washington to name
I was
going to
say, this is a great poll.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. Who will rename?
Who's going to have a name first?
So right now it's called Mike Del Tufo's boat.
Boat.
Right? That's what your boat is called. It's called...
Mike
Del Tufo's boat.
Well, again, if it's Washington football team, it's Del Tufo's marina boat.
Yes.
Right?
Okay. Yes.
Because location.
You've got to go location.
Yep.
And then
right.
what it actually is
what
is a boat.
It's a boat.
Right. So...
oh, my God.
What's
oh,
first?
MDT's marina boat. That's what you are.
Yes. There is no name. I did talk to the guy that's going to put the name on, though.
What do you mean?
Like the actual
the painter? Person.
Yeah.
Okay.
And? But that doesn't mean I have a name. I'm not close yet.
So you spoke to the guy saying, hey, I'm thinking of the name.
You have to book these guys. Like, it's crazy.
Come on.
Rich, it's harder, seriously,
come on.
Than winning the lottery. Those guys,
you have to
you
book
get
the,
a top,
the boat oh, yeah. painter in advance?
I've waited a month and a half for a top. That's for the cover. Yeah, it's nuts. Yeah.
You were out in the boat yesterday.
I know, but I'm getting a top for the back to keep it like
so
out of the leather.
Is that like driving around without a license plate right now? Like, is there like...
No, because a lot of boats don't have names. You
have the registration number.
Yeah, of course
side.
I do.
No, so it's... Oh, okay, all right. Yeah. But if you ever get pulled over, like you're in the boat, you know? Yeah.
The only thing that's bad
do
is
you get
if you
pulled
got to go
over?
On the radio. Oh, yeah.
There's Marine police.
Oh, yeah. I'm friends with the guys.
There's Marine... Of course he is.
I saved a couple kayakers a month and a half ago.
Oh, I saved kayakers.
That's right. I told you that story. I told TJ about
that. I remember that. Yeah.
The Harbor Patrol loved me. I'm like the Harbor guy.
So you should name your boat the Kayak Saver.
No, we got to think of a better name. I'll let you guys help. Because I'm at right now.
I honestly think you should leave this to the listeners.
To the listeners and viewers. We have told you we want to use your boat name as content for this streaming television radio simulcast. We
peacock
want to
with the peacock
do it.
Logo?
We want to do. Well, I don't know. They might say, look, you know what? We're fine with putting the logo on the Rich Eisen Show mic flag, the desk, everywhere.
My boat.
I don't know if your boat is part of the branding, What I'm saying, though, is we want to utilize this as content for the program.
Totally. We'll do it. We could do that.
I mean, I think we should, TJ, let's do this right now, at Rich Eisen Show, to go to our Twitter account and say what? Just give the name of the boat and with a hashtag of
Del Tufo's boat?
Del Tufo's boat.
Del Tufo's boat name.
And then we'll post a picture if they want to show, and then we'll post a picture of your boat when it's finally done.
But that doesn't mean I'm letting them choose the name.
Well,
no, because if I don't like it. No, because if it's like Stugatz, I'm not putting Stugatz on it.
Mike, we're not gonna take it and then pull it out of a hat and hold you to it. We're gonna give you options choose one that you like
we'll
the best.
Narrow it down to four.
Let's put it this way. When did you secure the services of the boat painter?
It's whenever I want. Meaning down a month.
I thought you said it was waiting like
that's what I gotta wait like a month. If I got the name today, I'd have to wait a month for the guy.
Okay.
So yeah.
So you told him so we've got a few weeks to play.
Got time.
Okay.
Yeah. Top goes.
How do we get off on the because it's the Washington football team is taking on the Cowboys.
My boat has no name.
And we don't want to make a pick yet for the game.
We don't want to make a pick yet. Like he doesn't want to name his boat. Yeah,
right. Exactly. We're all
just a couple other
we're taking either the Philadelphia or the New York football team.
We're legitimately all in the same boat.
I know.
Oh, I'm here all week. Hey,
wow.
Texans tight end Jordan Akins is dealing with an ankle and a concussion. Did not practice, so it's trending more like Darren Fells for fantasy purposes this weekend. And Sammy Watkins is not back at practice yet for the Chiefs.
Brady was back today. It looks like he just got the, as I suspected, just a maintenance day for TB12.
And more on Michael Thomas.
What's going on with him?
The never-ending saga with this guy. He got a new injury, a hamstring issue popped up in practice this week.
Oh, no.
So he may not be a go.
Is he got the Q rating right now? Questionable?
I believe so.
The dreaded questionable.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. And it looks like the Mike Davis project stays alive.
Mike Davis stays alive. Not going to see Christian.
You know what
McCaffrey.
This is? You know what Mike Davis is the fantasy equivalent of right now?
What's that?
Mike Davis.
Because we've already gone fantasy to airplane today. So
here's another one. Mike Davis right now is the fantasy equivalent of Kramer test driving the car, and it's not running out of gas, and you're just going to keep going. You're going to keep going, and
as far past the E
as you possibly can get. Because when McCaffrey went out, it was just like, this could be 3 weeks. Now it's 4 weeks, five, could be 6 weeks. Literally, I know, having Mike Davis, that carriage is going to turn into a pumpkin. At some point, the fantasy clock will strike 12. I have now made this a Seinfeld / Cinderella reference.
Love it.
But that's the way it's going.
And keep an eye on Joe Mixon dealing with a foot issue. Did not practice today or yesterday. So tomorrow will determine if he's active this weekend.
What if the Bengals beat the Browns, man?
I think it's possible.
I know. I don't know if I'm hooked on that feeling.
I'm not going higher register on that. But
I should have gone. Was Atlanta hooked on a feeling last week against Minnesota?
Atlanta was hooked.
I should have taken them. There were some out there for the taking. Upsets. 844-204 Rich number to dial. We'll take a break. We'll come back, take your calls, and we'll pick this Thursday night football game, sir.
Do we have to?
We're gonna have to. Absolutely gonna have to. Back in a second. Old Spice now has Below Deck, a new line of products for your, below deck area. New Below Deck powder spray helps you feel drier and cleaner down below. New Below Deck anti-chafe stick helps prevent inner thigh chafing. Nobody wants that. Available in the family planning aisle at Walmart or online at walmart.com/oldspicebelowdeck. We're taking you right up to Brother from Another. They've got Kevin Clark from The Ringer and Chris Sims will be joining Michael Smith and Michael Holly. So we'll get you to that show. And then the back end of the Florio Double Dip.
Ooh. Took a dip, took a bite,
and then dipped again. The famed double dip.
Okay, this is breaking news from Green Bay, guys. Breaking news.
Can you wait a minute till the radio audience returns?
Sure, absolutely.
And then that teases the Peacock streaming audience to say,
really,
I am going to stay tuned for this next 20 seconds.
It's very important.
I will stay tuned for this next 15 seconds.
Very important.
We're now down to about 10 seconds. Does that have to do with the Aaron Rodgers story about all the crazy stuff about Aaron Rodgers?
No, it has to do with his tight end.
Bobby Tonyan, big Bobby Tonyan?
Yeah, it has to do with his tight end.
Huh. Who we talked about with George Kittle, and it's tight ends week. It's National Tight Ends Weekend.
Yeah.
All right, we're back here on our radio simulcast. Yeah. Chris Brockman, tell our radio audience that just rejoined the Peacock NBC news, Sports on Peacock streaming audience. What's up? What's
I'm actually going on? Impressed. You did pronounce it correctly. Packers PR has alerted reporters in the area. His name is pronounced Tonyan, as in rhyming with Funyan. Apparently, everyone has been calling him Tonyan for a long time, and he just didn't feel like correcting people. He's too nice. But it's Tonyan.
That's the latest, man. These are great.
Yeah.
Goes in the pantheon of it's not Terrell Owens, it's Terrell Owens.
Terrell
Owens. Because we called him Terrell Owens because it was Terrell Davis for all those years. Exactly. And now here comes a guy who spells the name the same way, and he's like, no, it's not Terrell, it's Terrell. And I used to have to write on my script T-E-R-L to make sure I pronounce it correctly. But nothing Terrell comes Owens. Close to the fact that Keenan McCardle came out and said, no. Excuse me. I am Keenan McCardell. McCardell.
That's so bizarre.
And we're like, are you just messing with us now? Not Keenan McCardle, Keenan McCardell.
It matters.
And then just recently, it's not Clyde Edwards-Helaire, it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire, which is what he apparently was referring to it, but we kept on, here's Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And everyone was making fun at Steve Levy's expense.
No.
And basically, everybody that was making fun of Leaves, get out of town. And I mean it.
And don't forget Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
We still don't know, right? Is it Tyrod Taylor or Tyrod Taylor?
I don't know.
I think it's Tyrod.
I think it's Tyrod.
Well, and then Michael Vick says, call me Mike, right?
Is it?
Oh, Mike Vick.
Go back.
Yeah, it's Mike Vick. Right?
He went back to Mike Vick.
Did he? I don't know.
Names are important,
so
man.
It's Tonyan, like rhymes with...
Rhymes with Funyan.
Did Funyan. The Packers PR actually use that as the example?
Yes, they did.
Funyan.
Right, like Funyuns.
One of the greatest snacks of all time.
I have to tell you, you can't. Funyun doesn't even come close to the top 25. What are you talking about?
I am not.
I disagree with you. I'm with TJ.
Funyuns are delicious.
Horrible. Really? Funyuns. I'm with you, Richard.
Eating a Funyun is like smoking a cigar. You can't get it out of your mouth. You can't get the taste out of your mouth.
You're speaking madness now.
Yeah.
Funyuns, easy top.
There's nothing fun about Funyuns at all. It's awful.
That's Doritos, obviously. I mean, if we do power rankings, Doritos and...
Well, Doritos, sour cream,
Funyuns are top 10.
Is that a hot take, by the way?
No, I'm with you. I'm not down with Funyuns, but I could see why other
top
10,
right? I don't know if they're top 10, but I'll eat a Funyun.
You are highly overrating
the Funyuns,
sir.
I'll definitely eat a Funyun. The Funyuns are amazing. Sorry. You can dip a Funyun.
I'm just going to throw this out on Twitter.
What are you
right
dipping
now?
A Funyun in?
Yeah, I don't
know. Oh, I've dipped a Funyun in like mayo and stuff. Oh, yeah.
I'm not. See, that you had me, and then you lost me.
Okay. Mayo goes with anything.
Mayo goes with
dip
nothing
a mayo
in my world.
With anything.
Nothing. I don't do mayo at all.
Can I reveal something about me?
Please.
Did not have mayonnaise until I was 20 years old.
I believe that.
Did not have mayonnaise. It was a texture problem. I have texture problems. You take a Funyun.
I could eat mayo.
By the way, I love that we got on this on the dip on the dipping of the chip, and then Robert. It's Robert Tonyan, Big Bobby Tonyan.
Tonyan, Bobby Tonyan.
Bobby T.
How come Kittle never corrected me?
They're too nice. They're from Iowa. Nice people.
So Bobby just had enough. I just got to say it.
2 years. I'm a star now.
I just caught three passes from Aaron Rodgers. You know what's not fun? Being called Tonyan. It's Tonyan.
Tonyan. Name pronunciations are so important, though.
It is, of course.
Yeah. Advertising show right now. Yeah, are you down with Funyuns?
I made a specific choice when I decided to do this job for a living. My byline at Michigan, at the Michigan Daily, as well as the Staten Island Advance, if you want to talk about pronunciating words, it's Staten Island Advance. It's spelled like the word, you know, you advance to go, collect $200. They call it the Advance in Staten Island. I don't know why they put the accent on the first syllable. They just do. I made a specific decision when I was sending out my resume reels across the country to try and get a job in television and writing the labels. Am I going to go as Richard or Rich? And there was even a split second somebody said, what about Dick? And I'm like, no way.
Pause.
Dick. No, I mean, Enberg, Stockton.
No,
I mean,
no, yeah, yeah. famous broadcaster's name?
No chance.
What made you go with the Rich?
I just thought that Richard was, I didn't hear of any sportscasters. Now here's Richard with sports, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You know, Richard is the name that my mother would call me. She still calls me
when she's mad.
Richard.
Oh,
yeah. She calls my mom. Well, no, I mean, when she called the full name.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you knew it was up.
Richard Seth Eisen. That's a problem. Yeah. I knew something was up. I probably, you know, invited Foots over to play Atari when he wasn't supposed to.
Actually, long line of good broadcasters, though. One syllable first name, two syllable last name.
Dick Stockton, Dick Enberg.
Bob Costas.
Bob Costas. He's not Robert Costas.
Nope.
Vincent Scully.
Christopher Berman. Michaels.
Christopher Berman.
No, doesn't work.
No.
Rich Eisen. Chris Brockman.
Here we go.
Mike Del Tufo.
You know, the funny thing about names is you guys know, like, my name is Temujin, which was,
yes, TJ was, is short for
Temujin, which was Genghis Khan's real name.
Okay.
You know, and Temujin means, you know, made of iron and blacksmith, you know, it's strong. That's a powerful name. And yet growing up, I let kids with names like Bill and Sue and Tim make me feel like my name was weird. And your name is Joe. My name was Temujin.
When did you start going by TJ?
I've been TJ since before
forever.
I can remember. Yeah.
So like, when you were in class and called, you were TJ or you were,
well,
were
every year, Rich, it was the same thing. I went to this school with the same kids every year.
Right.
In the first couple days of school, you know, you go down the list alphabetically and you have, you know, the H's and the I's, and the teacher would ultimately get to me and tuh, and everyone would laugh like they hadn't heard it for like the 8 years previous to that. You know, it's like, guys, come on. It was funny when we were in third grade, but now we're in ninth. Why are we still laughing? Thanks, Joe.
Oh, you go. You know what I mean? So I made that decision. All right, Bobby Tunyon, everybody.
Bobby T.
Did he say he wants a preference of Robert or Bob? Big Bob?
Has not said.
Okay.
Rich, why don't you give it to him right now?
What?
You put your name, you put your finger on what you want him to be called.
The Tuncherel. I got you there. You didn't expect that one.
I didn't see that one coming.
What's it going to do?
Well, I was going to call him the Tuncherel,
Rich.
But now it's the Tuncherel.
Oh. I see. I like your style.
I will never stop.
Rich, you got to move on.
No.
You got to move on.
Never stop.
I love you, but you got to move on.
Never stop. Dan in New York, you're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Dan?
Hey, Rich, always a pleasure to talk to a member of the Mishpucha.
All right, thank you, sir. Right back at you.
What does that mean?
Behind.
No, we're tight. It's sort of the same brew. We're part of the tribe.
Yeah,
that's right.
Got it.
What's up?
So I got Chiefs as the first team in the AFC. I got Ravens number two over the Steelers because something happens, RG3, better than Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if you want to, that's kind of like talking about your fantasy team and who's on your bench to make you a better team. The beautiful thing, though, is that the Ravens and Steelers rivalry is as renewed as it's going to be.
Games.
It's so great. That's next. I mean, the Ravens are in a bye week, and then they get the Steelers, and then the Steelers have the Titans, and then the Ravens. It's going to be an excellent couple of weeks to try and make heads or tails of the poll question. I appreciate the call, Dan.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Appreciate the call. What's the results as they are over there, Chris?
The result of the poll question, are you down with Funyuns?
No. Oh.
Absolutely, 68%.
Oh, what's going on with people?
It's a late-night treat.
No, I meant the question we've been asking all show, Chris. Okay.
Who's the best team in the AFC? Chiefs, Ravens, Steelers, Titans.
Okay, by the way, this is great. I looked down at a phone sheet, and this is great. Last call of the day. Magnus in Germany. You're on the Rich Eisen
Chiefs,
Show.
50%.
Magnus. What's up, Magnus?
Hey, hi. How are you doing, Rich?
I'm doing fine. You're calling from the country of Germany right now, Magnus, right?
Exactly, yes.
Okay, what's on your mind?
Yes, I've been a Jets fan for about 8 to 9 years now.
Oh,
I've been wondering what's going on with Gase and the coverage of the New York media.
Magnus, like, it's not good. I'll tell you this. I don't know why Gase is still sticking around. But so why are you a Jets fan in Germany, Magnus? Why?
Well you've heard of Kevin James.
Okay, yes. Right? King of Queens, yes.
He has been the King of Queens. He's always been wearing the Jets apparel on all the shows he's been running, like the King of Queens and stuff. So when I got introduced to the NFL,
okay,
that was the first team I saw when I was like 18 years old. So
okay.
I've been a Jets fan since.
Okay.
So that was my introduction into the NFL.
Magnus, I think you need to find a better sitcom. I feel for you. King of Queens is a great show, but I don't know. I think Gase will lose his status as the HC of the NYJ very soon and shortly. And hang
well,
in there.
I hope Mike is not going to hang me up right now.
But, no.
My question is, since Todd Bowles and Geno Smith in the last couple of years have been getting so much crap from the New York media,
yes,
where is this with Adam Gase now?
He's not
delivered at all.
It's gonna end soon, Magnus. I wish, and thank you for the call. I wish I had an answer. How about that? Guy loves King of Queens and Kevin James becomes a Jet fan.
Magnus.
If Kevin James is only the King of New England for Magnus's sake.
There's also a Mets fan in that show, too. So
I know,
Magnus
I know.
I need to start watching Cheers or something.
In terms of football, it'll be better off for him.
You'd have 12 parades right now.
You think with a name like Magnus, he'd be like a strongman that lift those boulders around.
For Magnuson. What do you think I did waiting for the 2:30 a.m. Sports Center to start in 1996?
Watch that stuff?
Yeah, World's Strongest Man got me through that.
Good time.
Magnus for Magnuson.
Those are just some strong dudes, man.
Just picking up boulders, walking around.
Why do I want to take the Giants tonight? Why am I taking the Giants tonight?
I don't know.
Why am I taking the Giants tonight?
Eagles just because they're the home team.
Yeah, but they just got 4,000 or 5,000 fans there. The Giants just take a bus ride down. It's not anything.
I was also impressed how they closed the Ravens game. They made
That's
that a contest,
too.
And they maybe should have won.
All right. I don't know either. It's
know.
A coin flip. Kurt Warner's going to be our first guest tomorrow, talking about how he thinks Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to be feeling these days. Kurt, as we all know, lost a gig to Eli Manning back in the day. Also on our show tomorrow, the retired Doc Emrick. So we will see our radio audience then. For Peacock, stay tuned. More of the show in a second.
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah!
The Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
Let me start this thing off. Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.